Welcome to Recovery Talk on AM 600 The Answer. Recovery Talk is brought to you by The Refuge, a healing place. The Refuge is a leading treatment center for men and women struggling with trauma, depression, and addiction. Listen today as our expert staff educates you and guides you in the areas of addictions, depression, and trauma so you can be better informed. To be a part of the program, call 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. Now please welcome the Refuge Expert Staff Members. Once again, the Refuge Expert Staff Members.
Hello and welcome to Recovery Talk. We're here every Sunday evening from 4 to 5. I'm Heather Muha, Professional Outreach Representative with The Refuge, a healing place, and your host for this evening's show. Tonight, we're talking about discovering and nurturing the practices within our lives that promote wellness. In doing some research for tonight's show, I did an online search using the word wellness, and a myriad of different sites popped up, from dog food to spa services, chiropractors to weight loss clinics, human resources to counseling services. Now, with all these resources at hand, I wonder why do statistics still show that the majority of U.S. adults are overweight and appear to lead an unhealthy lifestyle? Well, I'd like to start by asking you, when faced with a constant barrage of fast food advertising, encouraged to drive more and walk less, work harder and work faster, how do you maintain a wellness-type life? If you'd like to be part of our conversation tonight, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 904-222-8255. And no matter how you answer, it's obvious that wellness matters because everything we do and every emotion we feel relates to our well-being. In turn, our well-being directly affects our actions and emotions. It seems to be an ongoing cycle. Our guest tonight is Brandi Harris. Brandi is currently running outpatient groups and individual sessions at the Refuge Transitions Wellness Center, an intensive outpatient program. She received her master's degree in mental health counseling from Stetson University and has been working in the field since 2007. Brandi has extensive experience in the inpatient setting and focuses on empowering clients and guiding them to turn perceived weaknesses into strengths. Brandi, thanks for being with us this evening.
Hi, Heather, thanks.
Okay, Brandi, so we're talking about wellness tonight. And in your experience, and with working with your clients, what does that word wellness mean to you?
Well, to me, wellness is really a myriad of different pieces and aspects of our life that individually, professionally, personally, I like to look at with the clients and in my own life to really check in with myself and with them and see where they're at in the different aspects, in their health, and which is, you know, encompasses mental health and physical health, their spirituality, all those different things, and make sure things are out of balance. I always use that word balance with my clients, and it's, you know, a constant thing. It's always trying to find that balance in our lives to keep everything there and to make sure we nurture ourselves and to nurture ourselves first so we can therefore be there for others and make the best decisions in our lives.
Right. So maintaining that optimal level of wellness is critical when living a high quality of life or to live a high quality of life. What are some factors that influence wellness? You mentioned a couple of them, but how do we actually reach wellness? Do we ever? And how do we maintain it over time?
Yeah, that's a great question because I feel like it's almost a living, breathing thing that we're always nurturing and we're always working on, and that's okay. It's just to be open and honest with ourselves about it and to check in with it every now and then. And it's okay if things go to the wayside. We're not perfect. No one is. But to just keep that in the forefront of our minds that, oh, I need to look at this. And for me, I like to look at the different areas, like I mentioned before, your emotional wellness and have an awareness of that and what you know, your ability to deal with feelings and relationships and stress and your self-esteem and look at that, and also social wellness and how you see your place in the world and society, and how you adjust to different shifts in that when you go through that in life. And there's other aspects like intellectual wellness and like I mentioned, spiritual wellness. A lot of the clients we have coming through here, that's a huge piece for them. Either they're rediscovering spirituality or discovering it for the first time, and that's one of the major things that works for them. We have a 12-step-based program, and that is a big thing for them to find a relationship spiritually within themselves and within the world and the universe. There's mental wellness, of course, and then, you know, there's other things such as financial wellness, even just to make sure we're on a budget, and the clients work on that too. That's a huge piece, especially I work in the outpatient setting, and it's now they're in, you know, they've either stepped down from residential or inpatient, or they're coming to treatment for the first time. Perhaps they're from our community here, and you know, taking care of themselves and becoming financially independent is a huge thing, and that's a big piece of that. And then, of course, there's physical wellness and, you know, how we feel physically. If that's not optimal and that's not, we're not feeling good, it's going to be very hard for us to take care of those other things if we don't have energy, or if we're dealing with a chronic illness or something of that nature.
So you mentioned emotional, social, intellectual, spiritual, financial, and physical. That's a lot of wellness to go through. You also said, you mentioned the term checking in. So with all of those pieces that you just mentioned, what does checking in mean? How can we check in to these aspects?
Yeah, and there's a few different ways people can do that. I mean, and it depends on who you are as a person. I know for me personally, I was actually diagnosed with a chronic illness called Crohn's disease in 2008, and it was really important for me. I'm a very visual person. I, you know, did a lot of writing when it came to that and really looked at these pieces of my life, because anything, we know how powerful stress can be. So if there's one of our pieces of the areas I mentioned that's just saturated with too much stress, whether it's occupational or whatever piece, and it's not quite clicking, we really need to look there. And there's also different ways, working with a therapist, working with a trusted professional. There's even applications on our phones. There's a mood tracker phone, mood tracker app that I actually have used in the past. There's so many of those that are free. You can kind of just punch in there how you're feeling that day, how much rest you got that night, and it creates a chart for you over time, and you can really see, ooh, I maybe need to look at this or look closer at my life or these different aspects, or, okay, things are okay right now. Or sometimes it really can show us, wow, I'm not really living in a balanced way. So it's all about, I think, checking in with all of that and connecting and listening to your body. That was a huge thing for me too. For years, I didn't realize how sick I was with the Crohn's disease until after I was diagnosed. I really started to check in with myself and try different things like acupuncture and yoga, and I was placed on some medications, and I made sure to try and balance that as well with the medical medications, but also probiotics and different things, and research different things to keep that balance. So it does take work, but when you put the work into it, your life, I feel, and I have found with my clients, that it really starts to, like I said, you find that balance.
And it starts to get
The Refuge, a healing place, is a leading treatment program for men and women struggling with addictions, trauma, and co-occurring issues such as depression. The Refuge is nationally renowned for working with its clients to create real, long-term recovery. With their caring staff, you begin to unravel the underlying causes of your issues and gain the strength to accept and overcome them. They take a unique trauma-aware approach to treating addiction and co-occurring issues that emphasizes holistic treatment of the mind, body, and spirit. Their safe private campus is located an hour north of Orlando in Ocala, Florida, and features residential and outpatient treatment as well as drug detox. You can call them for a free confidential consultation, 866-612-6610, or visit their website, therefuge-ahealingplace.com. Welcome back to Recovery Talk on AM 600, The Answer, brought to you by The Refuge, a healing place. The Refuge is a leading treatment center for men and women struggling with trauma, depression, and addiction. To be a part of the show, call now, 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255.
Welcome back to Recovery Talk. Again, I'm Heather Muha, Professional Outreach Representative at The Refuge, and we're talking about wellness tonight. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Just call 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-TALK. So, joining us this evening is Brandi Harris. And she was talking about, or teaching us actually, how we can check in to ourselves, check in within our body, our emotional state, our moods, in order to find out where we are and kind of help that acceptance process of wherever we are, that's okay. And what Brandi also mentioned wellness being emotional, social, intellectual, spiritual, financial and physical. That's a lot of pieces to put together. And I want to talk about one big aspect, an inevitable part of life that can positively or negatively influence all of those aspects of our wellness, and that is stress. Stress seems to come in all shapes and forms and affects everything. And what are some types of stress, Brandi, and what are some ways that they can positively, stress can positively impact our lives?
That's a good question, and I love looking at things in that way because when you're introducing me, you mentioned that I like to turn people's perceived weaknesses into strengths, and that's one of those things I love to do with stress. It can really be, if we use it as, like I said, getting in touch with our bodies, our minds, all of those things, and we use it to serve as an alert for us to say, ooh, okay, maybe I've pushed myself too far or I'm taking on a little too much right now. That's great. We can use it for those reasons. We can use it to even, you know, even a little bit of stress is good. So there's that positive stress and that negative stress. So we want to make sure, again, that word balance, I always use it to find that with even with stress. But we can use it to really clue us into what we're feeling. Another example of keeping ourselves well is setting boundaries. And a lot of times if that stress is kicking in for us and we feel something, perhaps one of our boundaries are being crossed, whether it's in a relationship or in the workplace or just in life in general. So it's one of those great things that if we listen to it, we can learn so much from it and in so many positive ways.
Because stress has effects on our body systems too.
Definitely. So we have to make sure we don't live in it. That's a huge, huge thing that I'm glad you brought up, Heather, because it is. And they talk about that all the time, that stress can really trigger that flight or that running or that freezing type motion. And if our bodies are stuck in that, it can be really, really terrible for us. And even in the, you know, when we're driving to work in the morning and there's a lot of traffic, I mean, that kind of stress even can push us into those type of reactions in our bodies. And it's a bad place to take ourselves. So we have to be aware of it first. Awareness is that first step to anything. And then we could change it.
Because once that stress, and this is, you mentioned the fight, the flight, or the freeze, love it.
Yes.
Our bodies internalize that stress, and it's held within our cells on a very visceral level. I know that's one of the things that the Refuge teaches our clients, and it teaches the staff members all the time, that all of that energy becomes trapped within us, and that can affect our body systems too and lead to negative coping techniques. That's something you probably see a lot every day. It's hard even on an individual basis to maintain and check in to those stress management and those stress levels within myself, too, so I completely get it. You mentioned that you had Crohn's disease. So you actually have dealt with some stress in your life, and I would think on a wellness aspect that affected you emotionally and I mean, I don't know, did it affect you socially too?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's one of those things. I had symptoms probably since I was 16 years old and didn't actually receive a diagnosis until I was around 28. So, yeah, I mean, socially, you know, Crohn's disease, it's an intestinal disorder. It's of the GI tract. It's inflammation there. And, I mean, of course, some of those symptoms can just be you end up isolating yourself because you don't know how it's going to affect you that day, and it can be really, really a huge struggle. And I have found that now, you know, since receiving a diagnosis and being able to manage it better, it helps. Now it's almost being brought full circle, where I can help it. It actually helps me to connect with others. And a lot of times I actually call it my C teacher instead of Crohn's disease, because that's, you know, there's such a negative connotation sometimes with that. I try and, again, like we talked about with stress or other things, that we try and flip it on a positive side. That's what I've always tried to use even with that. Like if my Crohn's is acting up, I say, hey, okay, body, what are you trying to tell me right now?
Mm-hmm. And you said that in your, I read your most recent blog, that's posted on the Refuge website, and you said that you've actually witnessed clients reconnecting the dots in their lives from a negative picture to a positive one, and that gives me a lot of hope, and I would think it would give our listeners a lot of hope that it can be done, and you just gave a real-life example of what you've done within yourself to take a negative diagnosis, what some might perceive, and put it into a positive light, but you also mentioned the part of reconnecting with others and sharing your story with others so that people can know you in a very authentic way. Now, that's difficult for some people to do, but I think essential probably when you're talking about social wellness and even possibly spiritual wellness. How can people begin to take that first step?
I think, you know, look for a place, an avenue where you are comfortable, whether that's a support group or possibly even a therapy group or just like-minded individuals. You know, we live in the age of technology, and even when I first was diagnosed with Crohn's, I found support networks online, and there's still many individuals I've never met in person, but through, you know, technology and the internet, I've connected with them. They live all over the country, and when I'm struggling, I can really say to them exactly what's going on, and they understand because they've had similar experiences with Crohn's. And, you know, and that goes for anyone that's experienced anything.
Yes, and you also, you're pregnant, Brandy. I just outed
yes.
you on the radio. But congratulations. We were talking about
Thank
it right
you.
before the show started, and that just brings in a whole nother level of wellness. When you're talking about being a mom for the first time and connecting, are you part of pregnancy websites as well and talking about what you're experiencing as a new mom?
Oh, definitely. And I'm actually a part of a study because of some of the medications I'm on. Well, one in particular that has helped very much with the Crohn's. I've been on it for 5 years. However, there's not a huge, huge amount of research. The research there is very positive, and it doesn't affect the child, all those things, which is wonderful. But at the same time, you have to, again, keep that balance and say, okay, if I were to get off this medication and go into a really bad flare, that would just, you know, you have to kind of look at those options. So I've joined a study, and that includes, you know, the research, and they call me, and I talk to them, and I'm also a part of a group of women, and I'm connected with them who have gone through the same thing or are going through it now. So that's been wonderful in itself also. And then some other groups online have been really great. And, of course, I've connected more with some of my friends in my personal life who have children and just on a whole new level. So that's always so important. That support network for any of us is helps so much with any sort of issue, and it really can help us be resilient and get through a lot of things that life throws at us. So
I think that's so important too, especially in my life as well. It's almost part of self-care in work and in relationships. What does that term self-care mean anyway, and how can a person kind of implore that within their life?
Oh, that's a great question, because a lot of times, and I have clients that come in here all the time and say, oh, I can't make this choice because this person's going to be disappointed. Either it's a parent or a friend or someone who has been there for them, or even if it's just really an acquaintance, and they always say, I don't know, this person's going to be mad or disappointed. And that is such a huge part of self-care, is actually putting ourselves first. And sometimes people want to say, oh, no, that's selfish. And really, if we don't put ourselves first, we don't have the energy or time for anyone else. So that's what we have to do. And I'm definitely reminding myself of that for, like you said, I'm about to be a mom for the first time. And, you know, to always make sure we do make sure we have that balance and we are looking at the aspects of our lives, because if we don't, really, what energy do we have left for the other people and for anything else that we want to pursue in our lives? So it's so important to fill our own buckets first, is what I always tell the clients too. And it's a good reminder for myself.
Yeah, definitely. So it's that self-care is kind of like finding time to pursue what you enjoy, or meaningful activities, or deepen relationships, maybe take on some new and interesting opportunities so you're well enough to be present for other people within your life. That's what you mean, correct?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay. And especially as a therapist in a helping profession or anything like that, you know, I have to make sure I'm good so I can come in here and really be present for those other, for my clients and for coworkers and for my husband and family and friends. So it's very important.
Now, how do you recommend people find a happiness or discover more joy within their life? We talked about, I mean, I just mentioned some hobbies, or you mentioned deepening relationships, finding that support group. Are there some things that people can do on a daily basis that kind of can improve their mood or help shift, like you've seen the clients, from negative to positive?
Oh, definitely. I think, and you're right, that shift, that perspective of, you know, getting up in the morning and thinking, hey, today is going to be a great day, instead of, today's going to be bad and da-da-da-da-da. And looking at that, I think one of the first things we have to do is actually look at our own, they call it a lot of times that tape that plays in our head all the time. And all of us have it, and we have certain messages that we've heard throughout our lives, and it plays in our head. And a lot of times when we become aware of that, sometimes people aren't aware of that at all. So that's one of the first steps, is understanding those messages we're telling ourselves. Are we telling ourselves we're a bad person or we're going to have a bad day? Or are we shifting that and saying, you know what, I'm doing the best I can. I am, you know, going to go out there today and do great things and be open to things and try new things. And if it doesn't work out, okay, but just to be open to that and to also be really aware of the messages we're telling ourselves. I think that's a first step for anyone. And then finding things we're passionate about and connecting with places or people and finding out what energizes us, I think, is so important, because we all are different too. So it's going to be different for everybody.
Yes, I like that, finding what energizes you. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's nature, and that could be part of a wellness plan too, is connecting with nature. I know at the Refuge, that's a huge part of everything.
Definitely.
Yeah, then, I mean, it's so all-encompassing, and I love what you say about that balance. Now, Brandy, when we come up there a little later on in the show, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the physical, the reasons why we're so unhealthy as a nation, and size acceptance and the physical aspects of wellness. Because when I did that Google search online, put wellness in there, I mean, weight loss clinics just popped up incessantly. And I think that's what a lot of people think about when they talk about physical wellness. But thank you so much for giving us a new perspective on positively or negative influences and in our wellness, and specifically about stress. And just a reminder for all of our listeners that we'd love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of our conversation, be a part of the show, maybe you'd like to share with us a little bit about how you maintain a healthy level of wellness or balance in your life. Maybe you want to talk about things that maybe have derailed you from your wellness plan or your holistic approach. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a call at 904-222-8255. We'll be back after a quick break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Recovery Talk live on AM 600. The Answer.
Hmm. news, traffic, and weather. Always informative, keeping you connected, updated on the stories that matter. We've got you covered. AM 600 is the answer.
CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor. In the wake of a quake, caution is urged.
We have a lot of wires down. We encourage the public to use extreme caution in and around your neighborhood. We do have wires down. Please treat them as if they're live wires and could be energized.
Napa Fire Department Division Chief Darren Drake, the largest earthquake to hit the San Francisco Bay Area in 25 years, 6.0, striking in the middle of the night, felt strongly in California's wine country, Napa Valley. Fires ignited, multiple historic buildings damaged, knocking out power to tens of thousands, scores sent to hospitals. Walt Mickens, CEO of Queen of the Valley Medical Center in Napa, says 120 patients have been treated.
Very early, we had a big wave of folks with those lacerations and the bumps and bruises. They were related to folks getting out of bed and walking on things that had broken at night. What we're seeing now is a lot of folks that are getting injured while they're doing cleanup.
Three injured critically. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're interested in buying a fine quality diamond, but might start with a smaller diamond and then over time grow that to a larger size diamond, at Underwoods we have a way to do that, and we've been doing it for more than 50 years. We call it Grow a Diamond, and here's how it works. When a customer buys an Underwood engagement ring, solitaire diamond pendant, or a pair of ear studs, we guarantee they get the price they paid for it on the purchase of any bigger diamond. Now, a lot of stores would say, big deal, we do that too, but here's the Underwood difference. We guarantee you get what you paid when you trade in your Underwood diamond, even if you're only trading up by $1. It's not that you have to trade up two for one like most jewelers ask. We've done this thousands of times for customers through the years. So if you're interested in growing a diamond, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, the Shops of Ponte Vedra, in the Avenues Mall.
AM 600 and FM 100.3. You want the latest traffic and weather? We've got the answer.
Already 4:33 on your Sunday afternoon. A.J. Davis with your traffic and weather together. Look out for road debris apparently on Butler Boulevard eastbound at Hodges Boulevard. They're saying debris in the roadway. Also, there's an accident on 103rd Street, Jamie's Road. That's over on the west side. No roadblock reported there. Also, an accident with injuries reported I-10 westbound at 295 southbound. And there are some road lanes being blocked. Also, look out for an accident in the clearing stages, Blanding Boulevard northbound, just north of Collins Road on the west side as well. That was an accident with injuries. And a hit-and-run crash reported on the south side, University Boulevard at St. Augustine Road. No roadblocks reported there. Well, we've got clouds, and we've got some breezy conditions, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Also, a high rip current advisory in effect until 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. Right now, mostly cloudy, 85 degrees in Jacksonville at AM 600 and FM 100.3. The answer.
Welcome back to Recovery Talk on AM 600, The Answer. Brought to you by The Refuge, a healing place. The Refuge is a leading treatment center for men and women struggling with trauma, depression, and addiction. To be a part of the show, call now, 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255.
Welcome back to Recovery Talk. I'm Heather Muha, Professional Outreach Representative and the Refuge at Professional Outreach Representative rather at the Refuge, and your host for this evening's show. Joining me is Brandi Harris, therapist and program manager at the Refuge Transitions Wellness Center, an intensive outpatient program. We're here to take your calls. We're talking all about wellness tonight. And you can call us at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. Give us a call. We've covered a lot in the first half hour of the show. We've talked about emotional, social, intellectual, spiritual, financial wellness. One thing that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, Brandi, are the physical aspects of wellness. The majority of U.S. adults are overweight. That's what statistics say. Nearly one in five are daily smokers. We know that does not contribute to a healthy lifestyle or to wellness. And one in five consume at least five alcoholic drinks in a day. Now, that's according to government National Health Survey. that does not paint a pretty picture when it comes to us as a nation in developing wellness. No, why is that? Why do you think that is, Randy?
You know, I think it comes back a lot of the time to stress, and we talked about that and how easily our stress can get triggered and how easily we can become comfortable with being uncomfortable, and we get just normalized to that feeling of stress. And a lot of times the way we cope with that, a very easy way to cope with that, is, as you mentioned, substances. And food is really just as addictive as any substance. And so, you know, and cigarettes go along with that. And it becomes the way, you know, people cope. It's a short-term thing. It's like, okay, give me that release. I need that release right now. We live such a busy life. You know, we don't have that balance. It's thrown out of whack. So we run it through and get, you know, food that perhaps doesn't have a lot of nutritional value, or we don't have time to plan meals, or we feel like we don't. And that's when we get kind of caught in that cycle. And a lot of times for people, it can feel impossible to break out of. So I think a lot of the time that really plays into it. It's just a reaction to a very stressful existence that many of us find ourselves just, you know, almost on a merry-go-round of that. And like I said, the perception is, oh, it's impossible to break that, so this is the only way I can handle it.
Sure, or I work so hard, I deserve this.
Yeah, oh, and there's that piece too. You're right. You look at it as a reward, definitely.
Yes, as a reward, when there are so many other rewarding things that we can do to maintain a healthy lifestyle that aren't necessarily as fast acting, I want to say,
yes,
as nicotine, yes, or food. And I know being physically active is crucial to keeping a person's body in its top condition. You're talking about strengthening bones and muscles, reducing the risk of disease and stroke, more energy. I mean, this is not rocket science. Everyone knows that putting more physical activity and putting that and using that as part of your wellness plan in your life will improve your emotions, will improve reduce your risk of disease and stroke. But why is it so hard to get moving?
You know, I think it's just, like I said, people get stuck in it and they don't think it's that easy. They don't realize the resources they have, and things like that. And they don't, and then again, like you said, you don't get that fast relief sometimes from those certain changes. You have to wait sometimes for a month, 2 months, 3 months for some of those changes to really play out. Then you find yourself feeling amazing and lighter and more clear-minded, but initially it just feels so overwhelming. And I think a lot of times people should set little goals, and that's what I try and do with my clients. It's little steps. It's, okay, by the time I see you next week, just this one thing, and change small things, you know, one little thing at a time, and then before we know it, ooh, we've changed so many different things, and it's almost a huge life shift.
I like that. That is great. It's almost like breaking off those pieces. It's easier to tackle one small thing at a time rather than looking at this huge, I need to lose 50 pounds, I want to do it now. But using the stairs instead of the elevator, walking whenever possible. And I was looking up kind of the route to physical wellness, some tips, and I saw also, and this just goes back to what you said earlier in the show on checking in, but learning to recognize the warning signs when your body begins to feel sick or when your body doesn't feel good. So checking in within your body, even if we're sitting right here, right now, I mean, what is one way that we can kind of check in within our body? Walk our listeners through what that looks like.
Oh, definitely. And I've learned this studying some mindfulness things, doing some meditation. If we're just sitting even at our desks or wherever, we're sitting watching television at night, they call it almost doing a body scan where you just kind of get quiet, just feel, think about the different parts of your body. A lot of times people start with the top of their head and they kind of just think, okay, they think about their face, their head, their sinuses, their jaw. They start to notice perhaps where they're holding stress, perhaps where they're holding some pain, and becoming more familiar with that and going through the entire system down to your arms, your chest, your stomach, you know, your legs, your feet, everything, all those areas. And sometimes we can find, ooh, there is some pain there or some tension. And even when we're driving, we do so much driving in our society as well. It's, ooh, my shoulders are really tense. You know, sometimes we don't notice that. We're so tensed up. Our jaws are clenched. Our hands are even clenched. Everything. We're just so tense that when we start to think about that and we break it down and we give ourselves even a few minutes during the day, even, you know, at our desk in our car, like I said, we start to notice that and say, oh my goodness, like something, okay, maybe I need to pay attention to that more because I'm really holding something there, or I'm really holding a lot of tension there, and what does that mean for me, and how can I change that? And that's one of those little changes that we can make.
Yes, I love that. When we're driving in the car, that is such a good time to check in. It feels like our minds sometimes are either stuck in the past or looking toward the future instead of just being in the present, and that's a great way to bring us back into our body and even recognizing those warning signs and if something is physically wrong. So another part, I think, of and studies show that getting a good night's sleep. Now, a good night's sleep means something different to everyone. What does that look like for you, Brittany? I mean, you're coming up, you're going to be a mom. It's going to change considerably.
Getting as much sleep as possible right now, but yes, you're right, and I've learned so much about that. I remember being in school, you know, when there's a lot of stress going on, and I think back to some of those years when I was even in my undergrad, and oh my gosh, I was just so tired all the time, and also I had a chronic illness, you know, Crohn's, that I had no clue of at the time, and who knows what my body was doing, and you know, you're just running. And now these days, it's really setting time for myself. I like to wind down at night, wash my face, do those things. We have to realize that so many things really stimulate us and stimulate our bodies that we have to be careful. Even I've read some studies about even the false light, the light that comes off our television, the light that comes off of our cell phone, the light that comes off of a computer screen, it really stimulates our bodies. And if we think about when we were first on this planet, you know, when it got dark, we went to sleep. Now, a lot of times, we lay in bed, we have our phone there with us, we're scrolling on the phone, and our minds and our bodies are being stimulated by this light and by this interaction, you know, by just the stimulation on the phone, and it keeps us going. And it's so important to me to wind down. Now, I'm not perfect. I mean, the phone, you know, we all struggle with that, but, you know, really just giving myself that time and to have that good sleep hygiene where I take the time, you know, and do some things at night that promote rest in my body. And it's like, okay, we're going to sleep now, and give myself enough time to really have a good night's sleep. And for me, that's about 7 or so hours. Like you said, it is different for everybody.
Right, great. Thanks, Brandy. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about proper sleep hygiene and give you some concrete tips on how to get a good night's sleep tonight. So, yep, we'll be back right after a short break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Recovery Talk live on AM 600 and FM 100.3. The Answer, Recovery Talk. You can call anytime, any Sunday afternoon between 4 and 5, 222-TALK. The number is 904-222-8255. Back to Heather and her guest in just a minute.
The Refuge, a healing place, is a leading treatment program for men and women struggling with addictions, trauma, and co-occurring issues such as depression. The Refuge is nationally renowned for working with its clients to create real, long-term recovery. With their caring staff, you begin to unravel the underlying causes of your issues and gain the strength to accept and overcome them. They take a unique trauma-aware approach to treating addiction and co-occurring issues that emphasizes holistic treatment of the mind, body, and spirit. Their safe private campus is located an hour north of Orlando in Ocala, Florida, and features residential and outpatient treatment as well as drug detox. You can call them for a free confidential consultation, 866-612-6610. Or visit their website, therefuge-ahealingplace.com. Welcome back to Recovery Talk on AM 600, The Answer, brought to you by The Refuge, a healing place. The Refuge is a leading treatment center for men and women struggling with trauma, depression, and addiction. To be a part of the show, call now, 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255.
Hello and welcome back to Recovery Talk. I'm Heather Muha, Professional Outreach Representative for The Refuge. We're here every Sunday evening from 4 to 5 to talk about all things recovery. We have just a few more minutes left in the show. If you have a question, now is the time to give us a call. 904-222-8255. And we've been talking with Brandy Harris tonight. Brandy has been just a lovely guest for us, taking us through a lot of different aspects of wellness. So I want to thank you immensely for all sharing all of your wisdom with us, too. And right before we went to break, we were talking about sleep and proper sleep hygiene and how to wind down at night, because it shows that we should be getting between 7 to 9 hours a night for good sleep, so our body and our brain can kind of regenerate themselves to start another day. I wanted to summarize everything with a wellness plan. Now, that comes from you. You mentioned that. What is a wellness plan?
Well, like you said, we mentioned that in the beginning, and we talked about the different areas of our life that we can look at when it comes to that. And there's ways we can really, like I said, break that down and look at those pieces. And then there's ways we can look at those aspects and discern which ones we need to maybe put some work into. And that's where I mentioned the mood tracker, which is there's apps of that, or we could journal and things of that nature, and kind of see, okay, where I can improve that. And then set those little goals. That is so important, because then, I mean, things get off track in our lives, and it can be so overwhelming to the point where it almost paralyzes us in a way where we say, oh, we throw in the towel, we don't want to make any changes. And if we look at it in little ways and set those little goals, it becomes much more manageable. And record that progress, continue to journal those things. And a lot of times what I find has worked for me, and with also with clients, is you can find an accountability partner when it comes to changing parts of your life, either someone who you do physical activities with, or who also is maybe they don't even live near where you live, is just a good friend or someone you can trust and someone you've connected with, and you say, hey, what did you do this week? Let's check in on Fridays and kind of let each other know how we're doing on these things, and it can help boost us and keep us accountable as well and keep us on track, and that can be a great thing. And, you know, then to update goals as needed, because things are going to change, you know. In certain phases of our life, we're going to struggle with certain things, maybe more financially and things like that. And then when those things maybe start to balance out, that's when another piece of our life we need to give attention to. So just looking at it as it's almost like a living, breathing thing, just like our lives, you know, just like our lives are, is all of that wellness. And just and being gentle with ourselves, I think, is a huge piece of that too, because we're going to have setbacks, and that's okay.
Yes, I love that aspect of it, being gentle with ourselves and being our own best friend, because when we're talking about setting goals for emotional wellness, I mean, wow, that is just, it seems like a really big task. But I love that you said be gentle with yourself. Start small. Maybe for emotional wellness, you can check in. Check into yourself. Check into your body once a day, like you mentioned. When you're sitting in front of the TV, just sit quietly. For physical wellness, what would be a goal that would be attainable, do you think, Brandy? Just one simple thing we can do.
Oh, I think even doing 3 physical things a week, and sometimes people, and I get caught up with this too, say, oh, I have to go to the gym and be on this machine and do this. It doesn't have to be that. You can get home from work and take a walk, or if it's really hot out and you're more of a morning person, you can start doing that in the morning with yourself, or wait till the evening when things get a little quieter, and starting small, because no matter what, I find if it's something that doesn't fit for you, you're not going to stick with it. You want to stick with it. So even saying, okay, maybe 3 times a week or even once a week, the first week, it's okay. Start with some sort of something small, a walk, or like you said, taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator, something little like that, and building from there.
Or putting your phone down a half an hour before you go to bed.
Yes.
In order to maintain that good sleep schedule. And then social wellness, too, connecting with people, maybe joining an online support group. Or have you ever done meetups? Do you know what those are?
Yes, I do. And I have looked into that because I'm not originally from this part of Florida. So, you know, when you you move somewhere new, you want to get to know people. And I've looked at it. It's great. There's all different groups and things and opportunities to meet all different people and that you connect with. So that's also a great, really great resource.
Yes, Meetup. They're, you can Google it online, and it's a group of people that just meet wherever you are and do whatever you'd like to do, whether that be take a cooking class or photography class or go for a run or, go for a walk, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be physical, but go to the library, go to a poetry reading, something like that. I think Meetup is a great resource that we have out there. Technology can be good to us. It'll
Definitely.
Keep us up at night, but then again, we have things like Meetup and the Mood Tracker, which can help us also.
Exactly.
And then there's intellectual wellness, and the intellectual wellness, what could be something that we could take a small step and put on our wellness plan for intellectual wellness? Give us an idea.
Oh. Sure, I think anything stimulating, even maybe getting back into reading, you know, and if that to you is picking up a book, or if you have a little bit of a commute, perhaps picking up an audio book and really just stimulating ourselves, our brains a little more if we want that, or if we want to learn about a new subject, any of those things, you know, picking up a puzzle in the morning, picking up a crossword puzzle or Sudoku or anything like that can really help us step away from certain things and mix it up and intellectually start to challenge us a little bit more and starting small.
Yes. What about spiritual wellness?
Oh, spiritual wellness, there's so many different things. And like I tell my clients, you have to really find a personal relationship there. And, that could be meditation. That could be joining a church. That could be finding any other group. Sometimes people really find spirituality through even just going to nature, going out on a nature trail, going out on the river, going to the beach and just looking out at the ocean. So that is something that we can really find. It's just giving ourselves that opportunity.
Yes, I think that a big part of spirituality for me is practicing acceptance on a daily basis within myself and with others. That's a constant goal in my life. Also, we have the occupational wellness, and you think of occupational wellness, well, clearly people have goals, and I have a to-do list every day that I love checking things off of, but what are some out-of-the-box, enriching one's life through occupational wellness, what does that mean?
I think, not keeping ourselves in a box and allowing ourselves to be open, like I mentioned earlier, to where life might take us with different opportunities and really recognizing and saying if something is too much. And so being able to set boundaries as well as in our occupational world, because those things can... We want to find that balance. Again, we don't want one part to get too stressful. So I think any of that, being open to any of that and allowing that path to open in a way for us where we let our bodies and our stress levels tell us if something feels good for us and we're passionate about it to keep pursuing it. But also if we're recognizing there's a red flag there, to honor that as well, because if we don't, I found that in my life, my body was really like, listen, there's some stress here. There, we need to change some things. So I think that's important in an occupational sense as well. I mean, we spend a lot of our times working. You know, many of us do. So we have to make sure that we feel balanced there as well.
And to communicate our values. I mean, you work with people on a daily basis, and communicating your values through the involvement in your occupational activities, I would think that that's gratifying for you. That means something to you. It's part of your wellness plan, part of your life plan of what feels good within yourself and helps you gain personal satisfaction and find that enrichment in your life for whatever reason that may be. You know, I heard the saying, and I think my mom told me this, that if you love your job, you never work a day in your life.
Yes. I totally agree with
that.
And that
can be paid and unpaid. Volunteer opportunities also.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't think about that. We don't think about that at all when we talk about occupational wellness. So, well, we gave some really, really, really good tips. Anything else? Anything else, Brandy? We're about 2 minutes to the end of the show, so any lasting
words? Know, I just think it's never too late. Don't feel like, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what phase you're in your life or what's going on, it's never too late to really be open with yourself and say, I'm going to make a change today. And remember that there's no change too small that's going to make a difference for you. So just to really be, again, like we said earlier, be gentle with yourself and allow yourself to realize that you deserve to live the best life possible. So give yourself that opportunity is what I have to say. You know, we don't have to be so stressed and in pain and all these things. In many ways, we can really do a lot of things for ourselves that can keep us balanced and help us live a more fulfilling life in all those different areas that we talked about. So just to keep doing that for ourselves.
Oh, thank you, Brandy. Thank you so much for that little vote of confidence and the big vote of confidence, actually. And I wish you so much love and joy and peace with your new baby, Logan.
Thank you.
And,
yes.
Yeah. I miss you while you're out on maternity leave, but I'm so excited for you. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us tonight. And for all of our listeners out there, I challenge you, find time to pursue meaningful activities, deepen relationships, take on new interesting opportunities. Find that wellness plan that works for you, so you can live the best life you have. If you are looking...
Thanks for tuning in today to Recovery Talk. Join our expert staff members from The Refuge, A Healing Place, next Sunday to talk about treatment for alcoholism, substance abuse, trauma, or depression. We're here to help. If you need help for yourself, a loved one, or a family member, you can call 866-612-6610. 866-612-6610.